Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2026, and this is episode 416. We are covering the hottest posts from yesterday, June 3rd.
We have a really fascinating lineup today. We will be talking about Google releasing their new Gemma 4 model, some controversial employee tracking at Meta, a wild hardware hack involving a PC speaker, Elixir finally getting gradual typing, and a very personal, harrowing medical story from a well-known open-source developer.
Let us dive right in. First up, Google just dropped Gemma 4 12B. This is a unified, encoder-free, multimodal model, and the Hacker News community is all over it. The post pulled in over 750 points yesterday.
What's really catching everyone's attention is the performance you can get running this locally. One commenter named Cinco ran a quantized version on a standard consumer GPU with 12 gigs of VRAM. They put it through a custom coding benchmark and found it roughly compares to GPT 4.1.
Which is wild to think about. GPT 4.1 was released just 14 months ago, and it was considered an absolute powerhouse for coding and reasoning. Now we have a 12 billion parameter model you can run on a laptop that matches it. The pace of AI development is just staggering.
Exactly. And there was a really interesting thread in the comments about hardware setups for local LLMs. People are pointing out that for 16 gigabyte laptops, models like Qwen 3.5 9 billion are still the undisputed champs. But if you want to run something like Gemma 4 31B, you really need a machine with 48 gigs of unified RAM.
Right, the old VRAM bottleneck. There was a funny moment in the thread where someone was complaining about getting only 5 tokens per second on their RTX 3060, and another user pointed out that speed usually means the system is accidentally offloading to the CPU and system RAM. Once configured right, a consumer card should be hitting 20 plus tokens per second.
It just shows how deep the local AI community has gotten. People are fine-tuning their rigs to squeeze every drop of performance out of these models. And the fact that Gemma 4 handles audio and vision natively without a separate encoder makes it super versatile for local agents. The cost and value of cloud subscriptions are starting to get real competition from local hardware.
Moving from AI models to how they are trained, our next story is about Meta. They are scaling back a plan to track their employees' computer activity to train AI, but the details are a bit grim.
Yeah, this got over 700 points. Back in April, Meta announced a new tool called the Model Capability Initiative, which would log employees' keystrokes and mouse clicks. The stated goal was to train AI agents to help people complete everyday tasks. Basically, the AI needs real examples of human-computer interaction.
But internally, this went over like a lead balloon. Employees started a petition that got over 1,500 signatures. People were calling it dystopian, especially since Meta has laid off thousands of workers recently. The vibe was basically, you are making us train the AI that might replace us, and you are watching our every move to do it.
So the update yesterday is that Meta is giving workers a bit more control. They can now pause the data collection, but only for up to 30 minutes at a time. They can also request exemptions, but that 30-minute pause really caught people's attention. It feels very micromanaged.
And there were technical issues too. The internal memo mentioned they had to optimize the tool because it was draining laptop batteries and causing huge spikes in internet usage for people working from home. It's a classic case of a tech giant pushing the boundaries of employee privacy for the sake of AI progress and having to walk it back just a little bit when the staff revolts.
The Hacker News comments were pretty critical of the whole initiative. A lot of folks were pointing out that if you have to track your own employees like this, it points to a desperate need for high-quality, multi-model training data. The big tech companies are running out of public data, so they're turning inward. It really makes you wonder what the future of corporate IT monitoring looks like.
Okay, let's switch gears to some classic hardware hacking. This post is titled Pound Blaster, Hacking Your PC Using Your Speaker Without Ever Touching It.
I loved this one. It is a write-up by a security researcher who reverse-engineered their new creative Sound Blaster Katana V2X soundbar. They just wanted to write a Linux tool to control the RGB lights in DSP settings, but they ended up finding a massive vulnerability.
It is always the RGB lights that lead to the best hacks. So the speaker connects to the PC via USB and uses a custom protocol. The researcher found that firmware updates are sent over this protocol, and the only check the device does on new firmware is a simple SHA-256 checksum. No cryptographic signatures, nothing.
Right.
which means anyone can flash custom firmware if they have USB access. But here's the kicker. The speaker also has Bluetooth for a mobile app. The researcher discovered you do not even need to pair with the speaker to send these protocol commands over Bluetooth low energy.
Oh, wow. So you just broadcast to it?
Exactly. Anyone within 15 meters can connect and start sending commands. So the author wrote a Python script to flash their custom firmware over Bluetooth. And because the speaker is already a trusted USB device connected to the PC, they modified the firmware to act as a USB keyboard.
A remote rubber ducky. That is incredible.
Yes! The modified firmware waits 20 seconds after booting, then literally types out commands to the connected PC. In their proof of concept, it just typed echo pwned, but an attacker could easily have it open a terminal and download malware.
That is terrifying and brilliant. The Hacker News comments were full of praise for the write-up. It is a great reminder that the Internet of Things, or even just fancy PC peripherals, are a huge attack surface. You think you're just buying a nice speaker, but you are actually plugging an unauthenticated, programmable computer directly into your machine.
Definitely a good reason to be careful about what you leave plugged into your USB ports, even if it is just playing your music.
Next on the docket, some major news for the functional programming world. Elixir version 1.20 has been released, and it is officially bringing gradual typing to the language.
This is a huge milestone. The Elixir team, led by Jose Valim, has been working on this set theoretic type system for a couple of years now. What is really cool about this release is that they added type inference and checking to every Elixir program without requiring any new type annotations from developers.
That is the magic trick here. It uses a dynamic type that acts as a range. As the code executes, the compiler narrows down what the type could be. So if you have a variable that could be an integer or a string, and you pass it to a math function, Elixir will flag it as a verified bug if the types are completely disjoint.
And they are doing this while maintaining extremely low false positive rates. They do not want to break existing valid Elixir code. One commenter named Yidasaurus Rex mentioned that Elixir's lack of static types almost stopped them from using it initially, but the trade-offs of immutability and the Beam ecosystem made it worth it. Now, getting gradual typing for free is just the icing on the cake.
There was a really interesting debate in the thread about dynamic versus static languages at scale. Someone pointed out that massive companies like Twitter, Airbnb, and Shopify all eventually had to migrate critical infrastructure away from untyped languages like Ruby to typed languages to manage complexity and performance.
Yeah, the classic argument. But another user pushed back, noting that modern dynamic runtimes like V8 for JavaScript or LuaJIT are incredibly performant. And the Beam virtual machine that Elixir runs on is specifically designed for high concurrency, fault-tolerant workloads. So Elixir kind of sits in this sweet spot, and adding gradual typing just makes it that much more robust for large code bases.
It is definitely a step in the right direction. And doing it without changing the syntax or alienating the existing community is a masterclass in language design evolution. The release notes also mention some great compilation time improvements, so it is a win-win for Elixir developers.
Our last story today is a bit heavier, but incredibly important. It is a personal blog post from Andrew Gallant, who goes by the handle Burnt Sushi Online.
For those who might not know the name, Andrew is a very prominent figure in the Rust community. He created RipGrup, which is an insanely fast search tool that almost everyone uses, and he maintains the regex crate for Rust. He is a pillar of the open source world.
His post is titled simply, Encephalitis. He shares that he was recently diagnosed with anti-NMDA receptor encephalitis, which is a rare autoimmune disorder where your antibodies attack your brain, causing severe inflammation.
The symptoms he described are just harrowing. It started with flu-like symptoms and extreme anxiety, but quickly escalated to chronic jaw pain, loss of motor control, and severe psychosis, including auditory hallucinations and delusions. He actually fell and hit his head because his balance was so bad, which led to an emergency room visit.
And the scary part is that because he was physically cleared at first, he was sent to an inpatient psychiatric hospital. He notes that this disease is often misdiagnosed as schizophrenia or generalized anxiety. It took a lucky personal connection to get him transferred to a neurology department in Boston.
Once there, they found a brain lesion and started him on IVIG and steroids before the official spinal fluid test even came back. He credits that rapid treatment with saving his life.
He is now recovering and even participating in a clinical trial, but he calls it the absolute worst experience of his life.
The Hacker News community rallied around this post with so much empathy. It got over 500 points. The comments were full of people sharing their own struggles with rare diseases and misdiagnoses. One user talked about their partner suffering from mast cell activation syndrome for 18 years before finally finding a treatment that worked.
It is a stark reminder of how fragile our health is and how difficult it can be to navigate the medical system when you have a rare condition. Andrew specifically thanked his wife for fighting for him when he could not, and his employer, Charlie Marsh from Astral, for being incredibly supportive during his absence.
It is a tough read, but we are so glad Andrew is on the mend. He said he is slowly getting back to hacking and is excited for the future. We are definitely sending him all our best wishes for a full recovery.
Absolutely. And that wraps up our top stories for today. A big thank you to the Hacker News community for always providing such deep and insightful discussions.
We covered a lot of ground, from pushing the limits of local AI to remote hardware exploits, language design, and the very real human stories behind the code we use every day.
If you want to read any of the articles or dive into the comment threads yourself, just head over to Hacker News. We will be back tomorrow with another batch of the internet's most interesting tech stories.
Thanks for listening to HN Pod. Have a great day and happy hacking.